This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. State Representative John Bison is seeking another term in the 62nd District. Coming up, we'll talk with the Republican running for another 2 years in the State House, representing Battle Creek, Albion, and several townships in Calhoun County. But first, Western Michigan University's Kalamazoo Autism Center recently moved into a new home. The location on South Westnedge continues Western's expanded efforts to provide services for people who are diagnosed with autism. Kelly Kohler is clinical director of the Kalamazoo Autism Center. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Give us the background on Western's Autism Center for Excellence, as well as the Kalamazoo Autism Center. Kind of remind people who have heard about this before, and for people who haven't heard about it before, kind of tell them what goes on there.
Yeah. Well, I'll start by giving you the history of the Kalamazoo Autism Center. Our professor, Dr. Dick Malott, actually had his grad students out at what used to be the Croydon Avenue School, is now Woods Edge. And they were working, basically doing the same kind of things that we were doing there. But the kids are only getting about 15 hours a week of what we call ABA services. And a lot of the research shows that 30 to 40 hours a week is really going to produce the best outcomes. So his thought was, we'll open a private center to supplement some of those services. So we started in 2008, and we opened a very, very tiny center. We were actually just renting a room in a daycare. So we've been there since 2008, and it's been super small. I think on average we've had about 6 kids at a time, and that's about the maximum that we could probably fit in there. It got pretty full. I think at one point we got up to 10 and were pretty much standing on top of each other. So then Stephanie Peterson, the chair of the psychology department, and the former chair, Wayne Fuquay, worked together to get a grant, not just for the Kalamazoo Autism Center, but just to actually become the center of excellence here in Kalamazoo for autism services. So that included not just services in the Kalamazoo Autism Center, but we opened a diagnostic clinic. We opened a service center for individuals on campus who have autism. We're working with adults or older individuals to help them get jobs. I'm probably leaving things out. We're training more behavior analysts who can work with children with autism. So this was much bigger than just the Kalamazoo Autism Center. They got a $4 million grant, and just one tiny chunk of that was to expand that center. And that's where the university bought us a new building, and we've renovated it. And now we are officially moved in and serving clients.
So kind of take us through, if there is such a thing, a typical day at the Autism Center.
Oh, yeah. So depending on the kids, so we have some kids who are going to be there 40 hours a week, which is really great. That's what the research says would be provide the best outcomes. But then we have some kids who are in school full days, so then they're coming to us after school, usually 2 or 3 hours a day. So typically, all of our kids are working one-on-one, usually with someone from the psych department, but we're taking applications from anywhere, really. But we really only need somebody with a high school diploma, and then we do a lot of training on how to work with the kids. And so they're working one-on-one with someone like that, and then we have someone with a master's degree and a board-certified behavior analyst, and they do all the programming. They're doing assessments and actually figuring out what the kids' strengths and weaknesses are, and from there writing a treatment plan and focusing on certain goals to see how we're doing. And they're the ones analyzing all the data that we're collecting. And then it's the direct care staff who are collecting data on pretty much everything that the child's doing while they're with us throughout the day.
So a very individualized program,
yeah,
for the student who's there, and you're trying to really tailor it for their particular needs?
Yes, very much so. And data collection is a big, big piece of what we're doing, because these are kids that are already behind in so many ways that we just don't have that time to waste. So we're collecting data on everything we're doing, and we're analyzing that data daily, if not more than that, to make sure that we're actually making progress on the goals that we're working on. And if we're not making progress, we need to start making changes as quickly as possible, because, again, these kids just definitely don't have any time to waste.
And you mentioned that there are some children who are there for 40 hours a week, but there's others who are coming there after school for, you know, a couple hours a day. What sort of things determine whether or not a student is there for, you know, the long haul, or if they are just there for a couple hours?
That's a great question. And a lot of factors come into play there. So when it's a younger child, 2 to 5 years old, they don't need to be in school yet. So we don't usually have a hard time getting them the 30 to 40 hours that they need. When we also have to deal with school schedules and things like that, it gets a little trickier. And then unfortunately, what the insurance company is going to pay for tends to become a factor. And the younger kids are more likely to pay for 30, 40 hours a week. But as they get a little bit older, the insurance company thinks that they should be in school, and during that time, they shouldn't have to pay. So they're more likely to get approved for about 10 hours a week. But it's going to vary, and it's going to vary depending on the kids' needs. We definitely, it's possible to get kids who are older and potentially pull them out of school or provide them services at home, before school, after school. So it's really going to depend on the level of the need for the child as well.
So what are some of the things that you might work on? Would language, for instance, be something that,
yes,
that a child might be exposed to in that,
yep,
in that setting?
That's a huge – communication is probably our number one focus for most of our clients. That tends to be one of the biggest barriers for kids with autism. You know, we know they also have issues with social skills and restricted interests and problem behaviors and things like that, but you can imagine if you don't have those skills to communicate, that's kind of probably where all those other issues come into play. So communication is probably our number one goal most of the time. But like I said, we're also working on those social skills, the play skills. Sometimes they just need leisure skills, like how to just hang out and, you know, occupy their time in a semi-functional way without getting into trouble or you know, things like that. We'll work on group skills. Sometimes we aren't one-on-one and we need to get kids working with their peers or sitting in a group environment so they can function somewhere like a classroom.
When you have a very young child, as you mentioned, that comes in there with autism, is the thought that you want to prepare them so that they can go to school by the time they've reached kindergarten age?
Yes, exactly. We tend to say in our field that it's our job to work ourselves out of a job. We want our kids to no longer need our services as quickly as possible. And again, that early intervention seems to be key. The sooner we can get them and the more hours they can put in, the more likely we are to get them into that school environment. Because once they get to be about school age, if they're not caught up to their peers, they tend to just fall farther and farther behind. That's why we have to work just so hard and so intensely to get them caught up.
But you will still continue to have kids who come in after school and you'll continue to work with them.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's some that are going to need our services throughout their lifetime. There's others that, you know, we just fade back on the services. Again, it depends so much on the individual child's needs and deficits. And again, I think a lot of that also depends on how early they get intervention.
And early, I mean, are we talking 2 years old, younger than that?
It can be. It's harder to detect a little before two, but, you know, we're getting it earlier and earlier. So and it's hard for parents. You know, if you have a 2-year-old or even an 18-month-old, to the idea of sending your child somewhere for 40 hours a week is a little daunting. So I think families are sometimes reluctant when they're that young and it's hard to get those services. But in the long run, it's definitely worth it if they can.
Is it tough to get a diagnosis at that age? I mean, are there things that a parent might look at and think, well, this could be autism, but at the same time, maybe it's just someone who speech comes a little later to them or something like that?
Exactly. It's very tough, especially if we're talking like, you know, an 18-month-old. If they don't have speech, that's not always the biggest concern at that point. But there are other things you can look for, like, you know, awareness of their environment, lack of eye contact, things like that. But it's still, you know, autism, it's growing. People are more aware of it now, but it's still one of those things that I think you hear a lot of, oh, he'll catch up, or, you know, he's just going through a phase. And you want to believe that, of course, and you don't want to concern any parents unnecessarily. But we tend to tell parents, like, if you've got that feeling in your gut, don't let that go, because sometimes people will just brush it off and say, oh, he'll catch up. It's not a big deal. And better to intervene early than find out too late that you didn't.
How old does this go up to? I mean, what are the oldest students that you have?
Well, right now our oldest is 11, but we'll take them. I mean, we really want to take them all throughout the lifespan. Unfortunately, in terms of service funding, insurance and Medicaid tend to cover up to age 21. So that's great because they've actually expanded that age. So we're excited to be able to take older populations now. But we all know that autism doesn't just stop because you turn 21. So we're also trying to explore ways that we can help older individuals as well.
What is the new location providing you that maybe you didn't have before that maybe allows you to treat students somewhat better?
Well, I think first and foremost is space. We're so excited. We were in this daycare. We were just in one tiny little room, and we had constraints just being in a daycare. The oldest child that we could have had in the daycare would be 12 years old. So that alone, we had some clients that were, you know, I said we have an 11-year-old, and their parents are starting to get nervous, like, well, what's going to happen when they can no longer be in this daycare? So definitely just increasing the space and the age range that we can take. But now we're really excited to be able to, we have some rooms specific for like assessments for severe problem behavior. We're going to set up some rooms specific to potentially teaching kids, you know, desensitization to go to the dentist or the doctor. So just the fact that we have more space is giving us so many more possibilities. We've got a group skills room. You know, we could potentially do some vocational skills training. We've endless possibilities at this point. We're pretty excited about all of the space.
You have both of your degrees from Western?
Yep, all three, actually.
All three degrees, yeah. Right. Okay. And was this something that you focused on from the beginning, that you wanted to be in the autism field?
Kind of. I'm not coming in undergrad necessarily. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was a psych major, and, you know, as a psych major, I knew I had to complete a practicum. And one of the practicum opportunities within the psych department is to work. At the time, it was the Croydon Avenue School, and so at that time, I kind of just fell into it. But after my first semester there, it was pretty much all over. That's what I knew I wanted to do.
What have you seen from your time as a student when you really started to focus on this up through now the first couple years of your professional career, in terms of the growing field of autism research? What are we finding out? What sort of new things have come onto your radar?
Well, it's kind of interesting because in the field of behavior analysis, we've known for a long time we could treat this population. But I think the thing I've noticed so much over the years is how much more acceptance and awareness there is about autism and about ABA services. Because when I started the field, it was kind of a known thing, like, well, you're going to have to go out to another state to even find a job. And even then, it may get a little tricky. It's hard to get people to pay for your services. Where now there's jobs everywhere. People are looking for BCBAs all over the country, really. So just the fact that there's so many more opportunities for people with autism and so many options and services available. We still have a ways to go, but it's grown quite a bit. And I think so many more people are getting services than there used to be, which is exciting.
Are we still learning more about autism itself? I mean, is this still a developing field in terms of the research and what we know about how it may impact any one person?
Absolutely. There's always lots of research to be done in that area. Our field in particularly almost thinks that we spend too much time on autism because we study just behavior in general. So sometimes our field gets a little mad that we're focusing so much on autism. But I mean, that's where the needs are right now. And there's lots of great research going on. And I think a huge area, at least in my interest, is verbal behavior and getting those kids to communicate and using the principles of behavior to make that happen.
Kelly Kohler, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Kelly Kohler is Clinical Director of the Kalamazoo Autism Center at Western Michigan University. Links with more information about the center's new location can be found at WMUK.org.